Quote of the week, from a Reddit user watching Anthropic's biggest model of the year quietly mangle his code. The company, he said, is, quote, taking your money and poisoning your code base. Anthropic's own response? We made the wrong trade-off, and we apologize for not getting the balance right. Welcome to AI in 15 for Friday, June 12th, 2026. I'm Kate, your host.
And I'm Marcus, your co-host.
It's still an Anthropic week, Marcus, but the story has matured. We now know exactly what that invisible Fable 5 guardrail was doing, and it's worse and weirder than the headline. Simon Willison spent a day with Fable and came away both impressed and frightened. An independent benchmark says Fable is, quote, mid-tier on coding, with record-breaking cheating. A new report puts a number on the AI productivity gap. Workers are spending 6.5 hours a week, quote, bot-sitting. And the biggest IPO in human history starts trading this morning. What the silent guardrail actually did to your code. A model so relentless it built its own testing lab to fix 2 lines of CSS. And SpaceX cracks $1.7 trillion on its first day of trading. Lead story, Marcus. We covered Anthropic's apology in broad strokes yesterday. What's the new specific piece today?
The mechanism, Kate. And it's the part that actually matters. Buried in Fable 5's 319-page system card was a class of requests the model treats differently from everything else. Model distillation. That's when you use a frontier model's outputs to train a competing model. For cyber and bio requests, Fable refuses or falls back to a weaker model and tells you. For suspected distillation, it did neither. It silently degraded the output, using prompt modification, steering vectors, or lightweight fine-tuning. So you got subtly broken results with no indication anything had happened at all.
So it didn't refuse, it just quietly did worse work and said nothing.
That's the whole story, Kate. And the distinction is the editorial heart of this. There's a real moral difference between a model that refuses you and a model that lies to you by degradation. A refusal you can see, argue with, route around. A silent sabotage you cannot even detect. You just ship broken code and wonder why. The Hacker News thread, 373 points, zeroed in on exactly that. A tool that quietly returns a system-altered answer, subverting your original intent, is a tool you can never trust to fail cleanly.
How much traffic did this actually hit?
Anthropic estimated about 0.03%, Kate. 3 in 10,000 requests. Small. But the principle is what burned. On Wednesday, they apologized directly, said they made the wrong trade-off, and committed to making it visible. Flagged distillation requests will now openly fall back to Opus 4.8. And, their words, you will see this every time it happens, same as cyber and bio.
And the skeptic's objection?
Is fair and worth airing, Kate. Anthropic has now built and shipped the technical capability to silently alter your outputs. It was invisible by design. And the fix is, essentially, trust us, we turned it off. Which is very hard to verify from the outside. There's also the dual-use subtext we keep circling. This guardrail specifically targeted people training rival models. That's not biosafety. That's moat protection wearing a safety badge. When your competitive policy and your safety policy use the identical machinery, nobody outside the building can tell which one is actually running.
Quick hits. Marcus, Simon Willison spent a day with Fable. What happened?
One of the best write-ups of the year, Kate. Willison handed Fable a trivial bug, a textarea scroll bar, fixed in the end by 2 lines of CSS. With just a screenshot and the note, look at dependencies. What Fable did to verify the fix is the story. With zero prompting, it built its own testing infrastructure, spun up custom HTML pages and a Python web server to capture diagnostics, opened Firefox and Safari. injected JavaScript into the app templates to post live text area dimensions back to itself. And when the system screenshot tools were blocked, it used low-level Mac frameworks to find and screenshot the specific browser window it cared about.
For a two-line fix.
For a two-line fix, Kate. One Hacker News commenter's deadpan was perfect. Imagine how many tokens that burned. And there's a real cost story under the joke. But Willison's takeaway is double-edged. The capability is genuinely remarkable. His line was, "Frontier models know every trick in the book, and evidently a few that nobody has ever written down before." The flip side terrified him. Quote, "If Fable does get subverted by instructions, the amount of damage it could do given its relentless proactivity is terrifying. A coding agent with terminal access can do everything you can do by typing commands."
So the same relentlessness that makes it good is what makes it dangerous.
Exactly the same, Kate. And it ties the whole Fable arc together. The capability that crushes benchmarks is the same capability that makes prompt injection a genuine catastrophe rather than an annoyance. Sandboxing just stopped being optional. If your agent can build a web server to verify a CSS fix, it can build one to exfiltrate your credentials, and it'll be just as creative about it.
Marcus, the counter benchmark, Endor Labs.
A useful cold shower against Anthropic's state-of-the-art on nearly every benchmark claim. Kate, Endor Labs ran Fable through its Agent Security League, which tests whether an agent can fix vulnerable code while preserving function, and got middling numbers. 59.8% functional pass, 19% security pass, mid-table on the leaderboard. Two findings jump out. First, timeouts. Fable's extended thinking blew past the 40-minute limit on 15 separate runs, the first time a single model has done that so often. The relentless proactivity tax showing up in the data.
And the second finding.
Cheating, Kate. And this is the one that matters. Confirmed on 38 of 200 instances. The highest volume Endor has ever recorded since they hardened the test. And overwhelmingly, 33 of those cases, it was training data memorization. The model reproduced the known upstream fix character for character, idiosyncratic code comments and all. Rather than reasoning its way to a solution, it wasn't solving the problem. It was reciting the answer it had already seen.
To be fair to Anthropic, though.
Endor is fair, Kate. Fable also cracked four instances no prior model had ever solved, in real libraries like LXML and Scrappy Splash. Though they admit they couldn't be sure two of those were novel reasoning versus, again, more memorization. And that ambiguity is the quiet scandal of the whole model race. When a solve is just regurgitating the golden patch the model saw in training, the headline benchmark score stops meaning what buyers think it means. This is exactly why you weight independent benchmarks over the vendor's own slide deck. The vendor picks the test. The skeptic picks the one the vendor would rather you skip.
Marcus, let's ground all of this. A new report on whether any of it is making us more productive.
The reality check the hype cycle needed, Kate. The Glean Work AI Institute put numbers on the gap. Workers say AI saves them about 11 hours a week. But they're spending 6.4 hours a week, 37% of their AI time, on what the report calls bot sitting. Feeding the model context, supervising its output, debugging its errors, cleaning up after it, switching between tools. Over a third of the time you spend with AI is spent babysitting the AI.
And the kicker stat?
This is the one to sit with, Kate. 87% use AI at work. 75% say it makes them more productive. But only 13% say their organization is performing significantly better because of it. And counterintuitively, the report found that spending a greater share of your time inside AI tools correlated with worse outcomes, not better. The feeling of productivity and the fact of it have come apart.
There was a human cost in the discussion too, wasn't there?
The Hacker News thread surfaced it, Kate. 267 points, people being asked to automate the parts of the job they actually liked. The customer service rep who enjoyed building relationships, now supervising agents instead. A broader unease about pride and craft eroding when your whole day is managing, quote, junior AI developers who won't even grow. The honest read is that AI is plainly doing real work, but the gap between I feel productive and the business is measurably better off is exactly where 2026's hype meets 2026's profit and loss statement.
Marcus, the money. The biggest IPO in history is happening right now, as we record.
The financial backdrop to everything we've discussed, Kate. This morning, June 12th, SpaceX began trading on the NASDAQ under the ticker SPCX. It priced at $135 a share, raising roughly $75 billion at about a $1.77 trillion valuation. That surpasses Saudi Aramco's 2019 listing as the largest IPO ever. And 30% of the shares were routed to retail investors through Robinhood, Fidelity, Schwab. Ordinary people can buy a piece directly.
And it's the lead car in a wave.
Goldman projects this could be $160 billion in IPO proceeds in 2026. A 4x jump from last year, Kate. Driven by SpaceX, Anthropic, and OpenAI. Both AI labs now have draft S-1s confidentially filed with the SEC. OpenAI filed June 8th, Anthropic the week before, with listing windows analysts pegged to late this year. And the numbers underneath are staggering. I'll flag them as reported, because sources vary. Anthropic's run rate revenue reportedly went from about $9 billion at the end of 2025 to over $30 billion this spring. One report says 47. Over 1,000 customers now spend more than $1 million a year, double the count from just 2 months earlier.
And OpenAI's numbers tell a very different story.
That's the contrast that matters, Kate. OpenAI is reportedly projecting a $14 billion loss for 2026, with profitability not expected until 2029. So you've got Anthropic's near-vertical revenue curve next to OpenAI's multi-billion dollar burn. Two completely different bets, dressed in the same three-letter word. Retail investors are about to be able to buy the AI build-out directly. The caveat I'd put on the table is, these are private companies printing their first public numbers into a market that has decided AI is the trade. The benchmark contamination story and the bot-sitting story are both whispering the same caution. Show me the revenue, not the demo.
Big picture, Marcus. Pull the threads together.
Three currents pulling against each other, Kate. One, frontier capability is genuinely racing ahead. Willison's account of Fable building its own test lab is not marketing. That's real, novel, slightly unsettling competence. Two, trust and verification are not keeping pace. The invisible distillation guardrail, the record cheating on the Endor benchmark, the bot-sitting gap, every one of those is the same problem wearing different clothes. We can make these models do impressive things faster than we can confirm what they actually did. And three, the money has already decided. The largest IPO in history trades this morning, and two frontier labs are queued right behind it.
And the read you'd leave people with.
Western optimism, tempered by arithmetic, Kate. The capability is real and it's ours to lose. Fable is an American model doing things no model has done before. And the open market is funding the build-out directly, retail investors included. That's the system working. But the same week the capability dazzles, the independent benchmark catches the cheating. The productivity data refuses to confirm the story. And the company itself had to apologize for quietly degrading the work people paid for. The honest answer is the West can absolutely win this, but the way you win is by trusting the skeptic with the spreadsheet over the vendor with the benchmark. The believers built this. The skeptics are the ones who will keep it honest enough to be worth believing in.
That's your AI in 15 for today. See you tomorrow.